All right, what's happening? This is another episode of Let There Be Talk. Got a great guest today from Saturday Night Live. Right, you're on Saturday Night Live. Jeff yeah. Richards, what year were you on Saturday Night Live?
01 to 04.
I had Dean Edwards on. Were you on during him?
Oh, did
him?
You? Yeah, we started together, yeah.
Oh, yeah, at Saturday Night Live?
Yeah.
Now, you guys both do impressions, so, like, were you guys both doing impressions on the show?
Yeah, that's how we both got into the first few sketches.
Yeah, they want to have, like, impression guys on, right?
Yeah, because it's like, you can get in and score, and then get out of the, you know, get out of the sketch, so you don't have, you know, it's not too much pressure on someone when they're starting. You just kind of come in, do a few lines, and get out.
Yeah, just do the other guy or something, right? Like, do a guy that's popular at the time.
Yeah, whatever fits in the piece, you know?
Right. Like, he did some great ones, man. Like, who did he? Oh, he does Donkey. I guess he does Donkey. He was telling me he does Donkey when Eddie Murphy. Like, if there's only $100,000 involved, he does Donkey.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, Eddie's like, nah, man, I don't fuck around for that. You know, like, if it's a commercial, like,
oh,
Taco
really?
Bell, yeah. Yeah, pretty well.
Oh, so he did some of the Donkey?
He does some of the Donkey if it's just low Donkey.
Low-rent Donkey?
Yeah, low-rent Donkey, Dick. He doesn't, Eddie Murphy doesn't show up for a low-rent Donkey.
That's cool.
Yeah, so how'd you get on Saturday Night Live?
It was a long story, but it was just basically I had good management, and they were looking for an impression guy. The guy did like a lot of impressions, like Daryl Hammond, and because they didn't know how much longer he was going to be there, so they were looking kind of for a guy like that. And I just did a couple TV spots. I did Kilborn, I did Late Friday, and yeah, I just did a bunch of impressions on those shows. So they just sent my tape, and then I got an audition. And
did you want to be on Saturday Night Live?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Were you in New York?
No, I was in L.A.
Oh, you're in L.A.?
Yeah.
Yeah, like when I was growing up, I wanted to be on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like as a kid, you don't know how to do it, but you're like, I want to be on that show.
Yeah.
You know, to me, it just looked like you just hang out with like John Belushi and those guys and do blow and have fun in New York.
Yeah, yeah.
But man, it was so good, you know? What impressions were you doing back then?
I think the first one I ever did was Gary Shandling. Dustin Hoffman, Gene Wilder, Louis Anderson, Letterman, David Letterman, and Gary Busey. Those are the main ones.
Now, you were doing stand-up, and
Dr.
was
Phil.
Impressions part of your stand-up?
Yeah.
Or all of your stand-up?
No, it was part of it.
Right.
I did some characters, but I mean, when I first started, it was just impressions.
How long you been doing comedy?
About 15 years, since 98.
And you started in L.A.?
No, I started at Charlie Goodnight's in Raleigh.
Oh, North Carolina?
Yeah.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
That's where you grew up?
No, that's where I went to school.
Oh, you went to school. I got you.
Yeah.
And you're just like, I'm going to do comedy?
Yeah, I'd always kind of wanted to be a stand-up ever since I saw Eddie Murphy's Delirious. I kind of wanted to do that. But I didn't know how, and then I was doing an improv troupe. I was in an improv troupe my senior year, and one of the guys in the troupe said, well, I'm going to go do stand-up tonight. And I said, oh, can I go with you? You know, I didn't even know there was a club.
Yep.
So I went there, and then the guy's like, I'll put you on next week. And I said, I don't know if I'm ready to do stand-up.
No one's ever ready, right?
You're really never
you
ready.
You never are. It's just kind of like,
just get up there
let's
and start
go.
Figuring it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I went up the next week, and it went good. We had a great open mic because it was like 200 people on a Tuesday.
Your audience?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking
about 200,
great.
And they were just lively and good. And so they were great. And we were only doing like 4 minutes, but, you know, and it was sort of like a quality thing because it was like I was only going up once a week.
Right.
There was really nowhere else to go up.
How many guys would be on the show?
They would put only put about 5 or 6 guys, and then a few other guys would do longer sets.
Like real guys.
Yeah.
Right.
Poppins and things like that.
Who else is from out there? Anybody that's famous?
John Reap.
Yeah.
Who else? I'm drawing a blank on his name. I can't remember his name. Who else? There's a few guys. I don't know why I can't think of who they are, but there's a few.
Yeah, they don't matter, right?
Retta. You know, yeah, they don't really matter. Yeah. If I can't think of their names.
Hey, fuck those guys, right?
Retta. Then there's some great guys that just kind of stayed in North Carolina that I just can't believe they never... They came out for a little while, and then they just left. Mike Spurlock is a great comedian. He's never made it out.
What about, like, when you go to do the Saturday Night Live audition, did you do it in front of Lorne Michaels?
Yeah.
And where's that, in New York?
That was in New York, yeah.
And what's that set up like? It's just a room? Are you at the actual place?
Yeah, I'm on the real stage.
On the real stage?
The one where they say, hey, welcome to Saturday Night Live.
And he's in the audience?
Yeah, you can't even see him. They're like in the darkness. They're in the, and I just surmise there's about eight people.
They just
felt like the energy of eight people or so. But you can't really see them. And then, I was so amped to do it, and I was so glad to do it because all I really ever wanted was just a shot at it.
Right.
I just wanted to audition, you know.
How many guys were there that day?
I think there were about 14, 15.
Wow. Yeah, because I heard somebody on Marin said, I guess they used to do it at like Catch a Rising Star or something.
Yeah, well, they do like, this was
the
like
preliminary ones?
Yeah.
I gotcha. And then this pick you to go see Lauren.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so
nobody had ever seen me live until this moment.
Oh, so you just got it from connections.
No, I got it from just, I think it was just timing, you know, like because I think they saw about four or five other impressionists. White guys, so it was just the timing of that, because when I found out I was going, I only had 2 weeks until I was going,
and they fly you out and get your room and shit.
Yeah,
so you go in there and you, how many minutes do you get?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. And what if you, they don't like you? Do they just stop you like, thanks?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's only 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I think they let you do your thing.
That's a long time, though, if there's 14 guys. I guess they've whittled it down to, know the guys are at least pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think so. I mean, it was...
Who else was there? Do you remember?
Amy Poehler, Seth Meyers, Dean Edwards, Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart.
Yep, Kevin Hart. And then the others, I don't know. Didn't really get to know them. But.
And then when did they tell you got it? Like right when you're done?
No, I think I... Well, no, that was like... I think it was on like a Friday. Stayed over Friday night, left Saturday, landed. Thursday. It was about a day. Day or two.
Right.
About a day or two. But then part of me thinks it was the next day. It might have been the next day, but I remember I found out because I was in La Jolla... I just landed in La Jolla.
You flew to do La Jolla Comedy Store or something?
Yeah, I was doing that a lot back in the day.
Yeah.
With a previous talent coordinator. And I just landed, and I had two voicemail messages from I had two managers at the time who worked together.
Who were they?
Dave Rath, Kara Welker.
I don't know who they are, but somewhere good.
Three Arts, yeah.
Oh, Three Arts. They still there?
No, they left Three Arts to do their own thing.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. But then they both called, and then they said, call me back. They both said that, and then I called them, and they said, yeah, you got the show. And I'm in a car with like six people, and they're like, you got it. And I'm like, I got it. And then everyone cheered.
Wow.
And then on the phone line, she goes, well, but you can't tell anybody.
So. Oh, they like to keep it surprised, right?
Well, yeah, they weren't really, it wasn't official, and I still had to meet Lorne. Which was the second step, but you had to meet him. So,
you fly back out
and interview you, kind of deal, get a sense of you, make sure you're not a drug addict.
And wants to know what kind of shit you're going to plan to do on the show.
Not even that. Just questions like, you know, what do your parents do? And
are you into cocaine?
And yeah, do you like, no. Yeah, they didn't. It was very, it was like a business, sort of business interview, casual kind of thing.
Now, how long till you started working the show? You like move out there?
I think I moved back there about 3 or 4 weeks later.
Do they give you an apartment or you got to find one?
No, they give you like a per diem or whatever, like a chunk of money to go find a place.
And were you living close by there?
Yeah, I mean, I was living like on 85th Street, so, you know, it was like a 10-minute ride there.
So you're there, you're on the show 4 years?
3 years.
3 years, and are you doing stand-up at night when you're not on the show? Like,
a little bit, but, you know, the days are kind of long, so there was, you could only really do stand-up without getting in trouble on, like, a Sunday. And wow. Sundays, you're so tired because the show goes so long.
Right.
On Saturday, you're up for, fucking 25 hours.
Yeah, almost. All that blow you guys do on Saturday nights, right? Yeah. The after party?
Yeah.
I mean, I read the John Belushi book.
No, you know, the thing is, though, the climate, though, to do drugs, there's almost a no tolerance.
Oh,
absolutely.
Over there, really?
Oh, yeah.
They probably just after...
Because they don't want anyone that's a liability.
And, like, after those dudes...
You know, I'm sure a few people did do it right. Quietly, but...
I mean, after those guys in the 70s just tearing it up, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to imagine John Belushi, Dan Aykroyd, you got Bill Murray.
Plus, it was also the time when you did 70s. Cocaine. I mean, you weren't... Right. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah, like, there wasn't big money involved on the show either, you know what I mean? Like, it was just kind of this show that they put up, and all of a sudden it hit.
But the people that hung around the show, too,
right,
weren't like that.
Yeah,
they're they get kind of kicked out of it, you know? There wasn't, like, nobody was really doing, I mean, that I saw, any drugs at all. Maybe pot, but that's about it.
I mean, if you look at, like, the pictures of, like, the 70s backstage and all those photos of Saturday Night Live, it's, like, basically a rock concert. You know what I'm saying? It's just like all kinds of like radical hangarounds, and they're just partying. They got wild sideburns and mustaches.
Yeah, and I think the thing about it is they got the job done like that at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like that. That was how they did. That's how they functioned.
Yep.
Back then. So, you know, I...
Because now it just seems like it's just too much pressure, right? You're not coming up with good characters. You just...
Well, I mean... I don't know, like, just people didn't work like... I just think it's not effective to work like that.
Oh, I understand. I'm just saying, it's like, you know, you get there and you go, oh, whoa, this is all different.
I think if, like, some people did it, more people would do it, but, like, just because nobody was doing it...
Yeah, you look like an idiot.
You couldn't be the only guy doing it.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, hey, Richard just coked out.
And I mean, you didn't even smoke... Nobody smoked pot.
Right.
I smoked pot a couple times on the 17th floor with... I can't remember his name. Fuck. Al Franken's partner.
I don't know.
Franken and, why can't I think of his name? I don't remember, but he was like the other half. He was a writing partner of, why can't I think of his name? Anyway, he was a writing partner of,
And you smoked some weed with him?
But that was like the only way you could do it.
Yeah.
You smoked it with him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, once you're on Saturday Night Live, too, I think you got to look at it as, like, it's a business. You're on there to get to do movies and stuff like Will Ferrell or all the big guys on there got, you know, their own kind of movie franchises, like The Ladies' Man and, you know, those kind of cool films that come out of there.
Yeah.
They're funny. They're stupid, but they're super fucking funny, you know, like Night at the Roxbury.
Right.
I love that shit. It's dumb as fuck, but it's great, you know?
Yeah.
Did
you see MacGruber?
MacGruber is like just a masterpiece.
One of the greatest movies ever.
That thing is like, it's a film like no one saw, and it's just amazing. To me, it's what's that fucking film Gummo. It's not, you know, Gummo, it was not a comedy, but it's a movie. If you talk to somebody, you go, you seen Gummo? They go, yeah, you know that they're going to be cool. You know, MacGruber's like that. You know, like, hey, you see MacGruber, like, D'Elia watched MacGruber like 9 times in a row after he saw it once.
Yeah.
You know?
It really is. I knew it'd be good because Will Forte is so funny, and he's also, like, so precise with his comedy, and he's just great, and he's a great actor, and so I just, you know... Him being in charge, I figured it'd be pretty good.
Yeah, it's...
I went to the premiere of that.
It's weird that it wasn't a hit, right?
I think it was up against another movie and...
Right.
You know...
It's a cult hit, though, and at the end of the day, that's sometimes better.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, so hard to get a movie that's gonna do well. I mean, there's so many things that can screw it up.
Yeah, well, I think middle America doesn't latch on to stuff that's kind of hip, funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they like those big, mainstream, dumb comedies. And I'm not shitting on middle America, but that's what sells, you know yeah. what I mean? For some reason, the same old stuff. And then these come along, and it's for, like, people like us, you know what I mean?
I don't know.
Oh, that's Jay Davis. We'll just turn him off. Sorry, Jay, not right now. Hey, Jay invaded the podcast right
hey,
there.
Dean.
Hey, Dean, see if Jeff Richards wants to come down and do a set. I love Jay, don't you?
Yeah, he's funny.
He's great, man. So, now, when you're on Saturday Night Live, who were the big guys on when you were on?
Will Ferrell.
Will Ferrell. Now, did you hang with Will Ferrell?
Not really, no.
No? Mm-mm. Like, how does that work? You just don't hang with dudes that are on Saturday Night Live?
No. Yeah, you just don't. It's just, by the time I think Will was there, by his last year, he would just come, do the stuff, and leave. And I think he was shooting a movie that year, too, so he wasn't there all the time. Right. I mean, I hung out with him, just to say I had a few conversations with him.
Yeah.
But if you're not in sketches with these people and rehearsing them with these people, you're not really hanging out with them.
It's weird because, you know, like in my mind, you just think it's like everyone's hanging. Yeah, hey, great
it's
sketch.
It's also 15 people on the
I
show.
Know now. It used to be like, what, seven?
Yeah.
God, it's too many now, right?
Well,
I mean, it comes out like Saturday Night Live with Billy Bob, Ted Williams, Jimmy, Tommy, your neighbor, and they keep going. You're like, how many fucking guys are on this show?
Yeah.
And then you don't know.
I mean, I do understand it's that you have people that are ready to leave, and then you have people that are just learning it.
Yeah,
so that's like two-thirds.
Got
then you got people that have been there for a few years, and that's about it. So
there's one guy that's been on forever right now, right? What's his name?
Fred Armisen?
I think he's the fatter black guy.
Oh, he's been on there for a while, yeah.
Yeah, he's been on a long time.
Yeah.
He's got to be on the longest, I think. Like
no, even... Daryl Hammond's the longest.
Oh, really?
Like over 15 years.
Yeah.
17 years maybe or something.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah.
To think about that's your job, Saturday Night Live? That's pretty wild. They got what kind of bands were on when you were on?
Oh, so fun.
Like, yeah, that's because, like, you know.
Springsteen.
Whoa, you had Springsteen when you were on?
Second show.
What? Second show? Did you meet him?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, the boss. What record was he doing then? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Man, what year?
01.
01. Man, was it acoustic?
No, it was the whole band.
Wow. 01. Oh, yeah, that's the Rising record. Like after September 11th. Were you there September 11th?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the...
That was supposed to be my first day. That was supposed to be our first day reading commercial parodies where we were going to meet everybody.
You were there.
We didn't. I didn't go in, but that was supposed to be the first day going in. But
I mean, you had to be tripping, right? You're there your first day, and then the planes hit the tower, and you're whoa. I mean, that's scary.
I kept thinking, I'm going to die now? Like, what a weird...
Yeah, you just get this job
so
and everything.
Yeah,
and then,
what's the point?
That's got to be the weirdest, man. Now, were you close to that?
Not really, but you could smell the rubber. Or you could smell the, you know.
Yeah, that's just wrong, man. You know, and then you eventually go to work, like, what, a week later?
Yeah, it was like a few days later.
That's weird to think of going to work, you know, like when that just went
and
down.
What was really weird was, like, everyone was so shaken, and now it's like we're going to do comedy, but, like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, what's the point? Like, what are we doing this for? And then...
What's next with our lives?
And really, also, it became like, how do you even do it? Like, how do you even approach? What do you make fun of? Like, what? So that I remember that one of the producers said, you know, I think what we need to do is sort of get back to the slapstick, sort of big goofy stuff. And that's why it was a good time for me to be there because it was just they were doing a lot of impression stuff because that was just making fun of celebrities. So it wasn't like, you know, anything anyone could get offended about.
But, was there a studio audience? Because that's mostly tourists. Who was going to that 5 days later after September 11th?
I don't know if it was about, because it happened, September 11th, and then our first show is the 29th. So it was like a couple weeks.
Still kind of weird to be a tourist in New York. You're on vacation there. Yeah. Some people plan their vacations a year out, and then they still go on vacation into the city where they have no idea what's going on.
When I don't even know if the planes are really going for a while.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. You know, so it's just strange. I mean, that's such a strange time in New York to be doing comedy. I mean, people need to be cheered up, but what do? You know, you're like, hey!
But it was almost like, too, a little bit, it was like, well, the pressure's a little bit off because there aren't really any expectations, and everybody's just trying to hold it together. So just try to hold it together. And so, you know, but it was weird. And I think, especially that time, I just remember being like, what's next?
Yeah.
Is this the first thing?
Right.
That was the nerve wracking part.
Like, yeah. You kept thinking like maybe next? They put shit in the water.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
Arsenic thing.
Yeah. All that was going around, you know, the powders in the mail and yeah. And that just seemed like that was just one hit. You know, it was like just, and the city is like completely crumbled on the other side of town from where you're working. You know, it's just like, and oh man, it's just, I couldn't imagine that, you know?
Yeah.
I really can't. It's just like, oh.
It was wild.
Yeah.
It was really.
That's pretty insane. So what was your, were you on the show the first?
Yeah.
The first one?
Yeah.
And what did you do?
I think I played a fish. I was a fish. Yeah, I played a fish, but I did audition. You know, at the table read, I read Don Imus impression.
Oh yeah, can you do him?
Yeah, sure.
Let's hear.
Stupid idiot. So anyway, I got a pack of jujubes, and I pull them out. I must have had them in the back of my pocket. I pull it out. I look at it, and it all. Sort of melted together as one big jujube.
So that one I read, and they picked it, and they said, we're going to do this. So I was going to be on the first show as a weekend update.
Wow.
I was like so psyched. And then at the last minute, Chevy Chase wanted to do one of the Sharkman things, you know?
Oh, wow. They brought that back?
Yeah, they brought
Land
that
Shark.
Back. For that.
Yeah. Land Shark.
Yeah.
No shit?
That's what they did instead.
Land Shark was great. Did you ever get to do Imus later?
No, never again.
Wow.
That's part of the show. I mean, sometimes you never get to do the thing again.
That's fucking weird, huh?
Yeah. Because they already... It's about doing well at the table. And they read about 45 sketches, so... If it doesn't kill, it's pretty hard for it to go unless you're a big guy on the show.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't kill, it's going to be even if it does kill and they don't do it, it's not going to do as well the next time.
Right.
It just becomes
cuz they've already heard it and they
they already seen it.
It doesn't pop in the room.
Yeah.
So, you're writing your own sketches. Is that how that works on Saturday Night Live? Do you have to bring in your own guys like, "Hey, I got
no.
this?" No?
You don't bring in guys. I mean, unless you're like...
Your own character's like, hey, I want
to
do this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you go there and you pitch ideas on Monday to the host. And then you try to figure out what ideas you're going to try to work on. So you talk to a producer and you say, I was thinking about doing this. And they might go, oh, you know, somebody else is doing that. So why don't you try something else?
Right.
And then for me, I didn't really... have any writing training. I'd only done stand-up for 3 years, so I just I really didn't get trained. I was just doing stand-up.
3 years and you're on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
That's pretty
awesome. So I didn't know how to really write. And if I could do anything over again, it would be I would have taken some writing classes. But
Writing classes?
Yeah.
Like workshops?
Sketch writing,
right,
yeah.
Like at UCB or something?
Yeah, whatever.
Right.
I don't think they had that out here, but But I did get a lot of things on writing with other people.
Right.
I think I did like, you know, over 20 impressions.
Yeah, which were your favorites? I like, let's see, I saw you do one a couple nights ago. Oh, you're doing Guy Fieri now. Of course you didn't do him back then, but that's pretty fucking funny.
Yeah.
I think Guy Fieri was at the Long Beach Laugh Factory last night.
Was he really?
He looked like him. If it wasn't, man, I don't know what the fuck. But it was dead on. The guy was wearing shorts, and he had the same hair and everything. But let's hear some Guy
Fieri. All right, Guy Fieri.
See, the burger's good because the burger's got the bun that's charbroiled. Get a bit of that smoky flavor. And the patty. Boom, ba-bam, bam, bam. Look at the ba-bam, bam. Jalapeno peppers are green. On Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
How do you pick a guy you're going to do? You just see stuff on TV and then try it?
I think they just get in me, you know?
Right, right.
You get some sort of passion about it, you know?
Yeah.
About that person.
I used to be able to do them good when I was young. Like, I'd do Bill Murray on Caddyshack all the time. You know, I can't do it anymore. But, you know, like, oh, you know, like, Cinderella Kid coming out of the crowd. You know, I can't do it anymore. But that was like, you could pick up on guys that have an extreme character.
Yeah.
You know, like, pull upon, it's cool.
Yeah.
pull it upon.
Yeah, that shit is great, right?
Yeah.
I used to do my metal shop teacher. He'd get so pissed. I'd do him exact. Mr. Walker, he was a dick. He'd always say, put your goggles on. And I'd do him exact. Oh, he'd be mad.
He'd do it in front of him?
Well, like, you know, if he was out of the class for a minute, I'd be doing him, and then he'd come in. Oh, he'd get pissed.
That's how I started, too. That's how I got friends at the beginning. I remember winning over friends, making friends.
Right.
In seventh grade.
Yeah, that's when I was.
I really think that's how I became, you know, popular or whatever in high school and stuff, because I would just make people laugh and just impersonate teachers and.
Yeah, teachers are easy to impersonate, right? Because
you see them every day.
Yeah, and they have these characters, you know.
Yeah,
and you just, once you can do it, then people laugh and they think you're funny.
Yeah,
and you're in, you know, because you're trying to find a way to get in with some friends or whatever.
Yeah,
and you do that, and at the locker, and they're like, "Oh, you should hear him do Mr. Walker."
Yeah, exactly.
And then you're just rolling. You know, I remember I was doing some sixth grade camp. And we just did, like, sketches at the camp, you know? And I'd do the teachers. Man, they'd be dying. Yeah, I don't really do them anymore. I just never tried, you know?
Yeah.
But I can do singers, you know? Like, welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games. You know
That's
what
nice.
I mean? Yeah. I can do the singers now, you know? Born! You know, born in the USA.
Who can do Billy Corgan?
Billy Corgan, let's hear him.
Shakedown 1979. Cool kids never had the time. On a long wild ride to the sea, you and I should meet. Of course, I don't know how to sing, but
yeah, but it's great to do guy like you can do him because he's so nasally, right?
Yeah.
He's like 19, you know. He has when they have like some kind of distinct thing, you know, like Bruce is like everybody does Creed guy because it's so easy, you know what I mean? Or Eddie Vedder, you know, because it's just that kind of.
That's the thing with the impressions too, though. It's like I never wanted to do ones that everyone does.
That's right, like Kermit the Frog. Like Kermit the Frog.
It doesn't mean anything.
Christopher Walken.
I do Crispin Glover.
Oh, now that's a good one
from back in the day.
Yeah, let's hear that.
This car doesn't run on God's own methane, man. Take your damn hands off her, Biff.
Crispin Glover's weird, huh?
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it. Who are you again?
I'm Dean Del Rey, dude.
Dean, I'm drawing a blank.
You do drugs, Crispin?
I used to partake in certain medical situations. Yes.
What who else you do? Like, you're doing some guys at the store. Let's see. Oh yeah, Dustin Hoffman. I saw you do that. That's a good one.
How you doing? The long hallway. Went through a few doors. I tried to open up on one of the doors there. Door won't open. I go to the next door and I try and open the door again. I'm just trying to open it. Won't open again. So walk down the next door. Try and open the door. It won't open again. I find you very attractive. And I want to make passionate love for hours and hours and hours. You want to fuck?
You do his face. Like, perfect, man. Some people... You can just feel the face, right?
I look a little like him. I got a big, weird face.
Yeah, you can do the face. Like, I think the best way to approach an impression is I see the person. Like, if I'm trying to do them, you know? Like when you do Adam at the store. Like, I see his face because he's always like, oh, God, you know? Everything's like, oh, now what, you know?
Well, he always complains about getting laid too much, which is just...
Which is
hilarious. For most guys, it kills you. Cause
it's just
like
a dagger. Like,
it just hurts so bad. And it's just like, all the girls you want, always.
Yep.
And he doesn't give a fuck. He's always like, And he tries to play it down, but it's almost like... he just say, yeah, it's fun. I'm having a good time. But he always goes,
They won't let go of my dick. It gets so sore. I'm tired of coming all the time. What am I supposed to do?
Oh, man.
Should I get a lock for my penis?
Bitches just want to suck my dick.
They just want it.
Oh, man. There's like all kinds of characters at the store that you do. You do like Toby the bartender. You do Adam. Who else do you do?
I do a little Don Barris.
Oh, yeah?
But it's...
You got to stand up for that one?
No, I got to go pee.
Oh.
But, no, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
I actually do have to go pee. Oh. But he goes, shut the fuck up! Shut the...
How you doing, everybody?
You got to piss up. I'll hit pause.
I'm Francisco Ramos.
You know,
I'm spotted in the main room. I'm a Francisco Ramos.
Sometimes, like, I don't even care if the impression, like, sounds like I'm a really too much.
Really?
It's more of, like, the angle on it. Like, just, like, because it is fun to make fun of people.
Right.
If you're that kind of guy. And I like doing it because it's just, like, you know, I like to watch people react sometimes. And sometimes I try to get just, like, be exact with it. But I try to make it kind of funny and exaggerate it.
Right.
When people go, oh, that doesn't really sound like me. And I go, I know. That's not really not what I'm going for.
Yeah. Did you like Rich Little?
I never got into him. Never really saw too much of him, actually.
Rich Little.
I know who he is, but yeah.
I thought he was amazing when I was growing up.
Jim Carrey was more the guy for me.
Right. Well, he's extreme, like faces and stuff.
But just dead on, and then
yeah,
just
like when he does that Clint Eastwood, like go ahead, and his face is all fucking blasted out. Yeah,
Dana Carvey,
yeah,
and Daryl Hammond, and those are my big influences for that.
The thing I liked about Rich Little was, man, he did about, you know, like 100 voices, and they were dead on. It was weird, man. Like, I mean, that looked so weird when you'd see him, you know, do those voices come out of his mouth. Like, even sometimes when I see you do the voices, I still, you know, it's Jeff, you know what I mean? Some people, though, it looks fake when it's coming out. Like, you're going, like, if Melissa Villasenor does, like, a dude or something, you go, is that coming out of her? You know what I mean? It looks like she's lip syncing it and they got a recording going because it's so extreme.
So,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, what?
Yeah.
It's a trip.
She's great, yeah.
Yeah, she's good, man. I had her on. People on my that listen to my show, they love impression people. That's why I wanted to have you on because I had Dean Edwards on. And, man, I was getting emails like crazy. Like, we love that guy, you know, like, because he was just rifling these voices. People love voices.
Yeah.
They love it. I see it at the Comedy Store. You could have a guy that has no act, and he'll do like a couple dudes at the end, and they will just they'll forget everything and be like, that guy was amazing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, people like it. I think it's something that it's easy for people to digest, you know?
Yeah, like, they
you know, they relate to somebody they know already, you know?
And it gets them close to, in some way, to the star. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like tourist crowds and stuff. They're like, oh, ooh. You know?
Yeah, it's like they're there.
Yeah. Who's your favorite guy to do? I mean, that seems
I like, you know, for me, it's like Charlie Rose.
Charlie Rose.
I don't know if you know Charlie Rose.
Yeah, I know Charlie Rose, of course.
Some people don't know Charlie Rose, which I wish they did because he's just so great. Because when he interviews people, it's like he never finishes answering. He never finishes asking the question.
Yeah.
So it's always like, talk about you. I mean, take me through you. I mean, give me a sense of peekaboo. I mean, what is peekaboo? I mean, why do we even say? Why did I say peekaboo to you, looking at you, through you? Talk about that. You know, the guest is just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, they're just like, what?
I mean, and he always like talks about, like, he knows everything about sports, but I mean, he knows everything about just everything. So, but some things he doesn't know a lot. You could tell when he's just. He'd say something about baseball. He'd be like, talk about baseball. I mean, what is baseball that makes it baseball? I mean, give me a sense of, I mean, what is a ball? I mean, you put a ball in your hand, you throw it to someone else. I mean, where does it go? You know, stuff like that.
Just stupid questions.
Yeah.
What about the one guy? Can you do him, what's the guy that, oh, man, he interviews people. He had, like, the great Dave Chappelle one. What's his name? The actor's studio. What's his name?
Oh, James Lipton.
Can you do that guy?
You know, as soon as Will Ferrell doing it,
right.
I was like, ah.
Yeah, fuck it.
He's already doing it. I mean, he was doing it before I got on the show.
Right.
But,
I mean, yeah, they're just extreme
guys.
Yeah,
I don't even, I think you could do it back in the day, but
right.
I don't even remember how that show goes.
So what were some of the other bands on Saturday Night Live? You had Springsteen.
Paul Simon was the first show for me.
He's been on like 1,000 times,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mick Jagger.
Oh, solo?
Solo.
Wow, dope. Did you talk to Jagger?
Didn't really talk to him, but shook his hand, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
that was good enough. White Stripes, The Strokes.
Oh, Strokes, when they were hitting big. That whole era back then, like, yes.
Well, that's what was so fun, because it's like you're there and you're seeing these people when they're just popping.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, they're really, really hot right now.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they're iconic and already gigantic.
Exactly.
You
know? Or they're just garbage cans like... The Simpson girl.
Right. Ashley Simpson.
God. I mean, they really tainted the music section of it. You know?
Yeah. Because I remember, like, really realizing that the music is just, like, it's such a magazine cover move.
Yep.
Because.
You got, like, Lana Del Rey or whatever on.
Yeah.
You know, these people that, like, I mean, back in the day, even what you're talking about. You know, we're talking about 2001, 2, 3, 4. You know, they're having just these bands that were like, you know, basically kind of Coachella style about to hit. And they'd be on Saturday Night Live, and the next day they would just be the biggest bands ever. Even Nirvana. Yeah. You know, so yeah, The Strokes, all that New York stuff popped during then, mm-hmm. And that's where I would get turned on to them. Like, The Strokes were on there. I was like, these guys are great, man. You know?
Yeah.
And you kind of trusted Saturday Night Live for their musical taste. If the band was going to be on, you were pretty...
But even back then, when The Strokes went on, because I was there, like I just said, yeah. when I was there when The Strokes were on. I mean, during that year, there's like a bulletin board, and they have, you know, the guest... who they want, and they'd be different color cards, and, you know, certain colors mean they're confirmed. And then you would have the musical guest, and it would usually be between two bands, or someone would be... And I remember for a long time it was Britney Spears or Radiohead for this one show.
Wow.
And I'm like... I mean, Radiohead's like one of my favorite bands of all time, so I was just like, you know, God, I hope it's Radiohead. And also Britney Spears had played the year before.
Right.
Or whatever, you know? And they picked Britney Spears again. And you know it's just a move because, you know, more people.
I mean,
watching.
I understand how it works. You got to have the garbage with the good because, like we just said, it's the same thing with having the big blockbuster comedy and then MacGruber.
Yeah.
You know, in order for MacGruber to be made, Garbage Can has to be made first. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's, in order for Radiohead to be on, Britney Spears has to be on, because that
would they
advertising. You
know, would Radiohead was like, we'll never play the show again. We'll never play the SNL again.
Because of that?
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember reading about that after.
Yeah, you know.
He must have, like, dicked around with them for a while, because it was up there for a while.
Yeah, that's just, you know.
But, I mean, I get what their position is. I mean, their position is
selling commercials.
Yeah.
And having people watch. Yeah.
And between Britney Spears and Radiohead, they're going to get a lot of people. Yep. And it's mainstream, and it's, you know.
I think if Saturday Night Live moved to FX or something, or HBO now, it'd be so much better. Because you could get back to some edgy sketches, and you could have great...
But that was always the challenge, which was kind of exciting, too, is trying to, you know, walk the line and push the envelope a little bit and get stuff on, as opposed to just full license to do whatever you want. It's almost better not to have full license.
Yeah.
Because it makes you think harder.
Well, you got to think smarter. Like if smarter, you're doing, if you're doing sets on Letterman, you know, you got to have a smart set.
Nice to see you. Good to have you here. Nice going, way to go. Good to have you here. So I'm looking around the apartment. If you get some DVDs, you get some clothes on the floor. There's a jacket on the a leather jacket on the leather chair. Nice going.
Oh man, that's good, man.
Yeah, it is. I come back on the show.
Did you do any of those like cartoons back in the day?
You mean like voiceovers?
Bugs Bunny? No, did you used to do impressions of any guys like that? I mean, that's usually kind of an intro.
Don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I must have. I think I did. My mom told me I used to.
Yeah.
I don't remember who I did.
Three Stooges.
I used to do like my uncle and like when I was little.
Right.
My uncle was deaf and he would always be like.
He was deaf?
He was deaf and he always thought I had cigarettes. He had some brain damage from an accident and he'd always be like, "Hey, you got any smokes?" And I'd be like 7 years old. I'd be like, "No, I don't smoke. I'm, you know, 7. He goes, "Come on, man. Give me a cigarette. Am I talking too loud?"
Man, he knew he was deaf.
Yeah.
Fun. Was he born deaf?
No. He had a brain aneurysm.
Oh, yeah. It took out his hearing.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So now, take me, what happened? You're on Saturday Night for about 3 years?
Yeah.
And then what, you get fired?
Yeah.
Everybody gets fired, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you either
make it and leave, or you get fired.
Yeah,
like Norm MacDonald got fired, which still
blows my mind. There's so many people that you would never think that got fired, too.
Like, who got fired? I heard you told me Chris Farley got fired, right?
Chris Farley, Sandler... Sarah Silverman. Some of these I know, but they're not really widely known because it doesn't really matter.
And, no, not at all. I didn't even know
like
Sarah.
Like Dave Koechner was fired, which he's one of the best. Like Dave Koechner's so great.
Well, Norm MacDonald was the news.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the famous story that Lauren brings him in or whatever and says, "You're not funny."
No, that's not like. That's just what they say. I mean, right. I think they tell you one thing, and you'll never know why you're fired.
Right.
I think for anything, but like for him, I think it was like pissing off. It's always pissing off somebody.
Yeah, Norm.
But anybody getting fired is pissing off somebody.
Oh, I got it.
Or you just are inadequate for some reason. You get nervous and you can't do the sketches or whatever it is. That's less likely. But, you know, if you don't know, Norm MacDonald was, I'm sure he pissed off like the president. I think that was the thing going around. That's what the deal was. So.
Yeah, actually, it was the president that said he wasn't funny. That's who it was.
Yeah, which is just a way of saying, you don't make any O.J. Simpson jokes.
That's right. He wasn't supposed to make the O.J. jokes that week. I forgot about that. Yeah.
you know.
Norm Macdonald is just amazing to me.
So great.
Yeah, I mean, the Jeopardy, him as Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
On Jeopardy, I think is probably the top five sketches for me of all time. Because it's just ridiculous. He looks just like him. He's got that big hat on. And he's like, huh, that's a big hat. It's funny. And he's like, it's not funny. He goes, yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah. Turd Ferguson. That's my name. He does that. Turd Ferguson. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I mean, just epic, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously, when you see how funny he is on the show and then he gets fired, you know that something's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's...
Yeah, it's life. It's I understand. Life, it's not like, ooh, you got fired. It's not like high school, you know?
You know, and...
You were on the fucking show.
That's right.
That's what I always tell people. They go, hey, well, what about that guy? He got fired. I go, yeah, you know what? He got fired from Saturday Night Live. Have you been on there? No. Get out of here. You know?
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, and the bottom line is how you feel about it, you know?
Yeah.
And you're not going to be there forever regardless.
Nope. And who would want to be?
You know?
You know what I mean?
You know, you...
I mean, the ideal thing is be on like 3 years and then be able to tour like the country doing theaters, doing comedy. Your own boss, you know what I mean? Out doing beautiful theaters on a tour bus, picking up crazy paper.
Mm-hmm.
And just that, because there's nothing better than that one-on-one, right? Of what you and the audience.
I like stand-up the best, yeah.
Me too.
Stand-up's fun. Like you can do anything you want.
Yeah, and you're
the
boss.
You don't have to get it just right. You can make up stuff. There's a lot of freedom.
It's all on the fly.
As long as you make them laugh, you know, you're okay. I also like radio and podcasts and stuff, too. I like... and voiceovers are fun.
Yep.
I like acting, too, but...
It's the slowest, though. You
acting
know?
Is the slowest.
It's so slow. I was just telling a guy last night, it's like, you know... Close up of you. Okay, now we're going to get his close up. We're going to get this guy's close up. Now we're going to do a 360. Oh, we're going to shoot dirty over your shoulder. Oh, now this guy forgot his lines. We got to do this again. Oh, the lighting's bad. The sun went down. Uh-oh. You know what I mean? And you're going, fuck, we're only on one page of the fucking movie.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying, there's nothing better than they say your name, you walk on stage, you perform, and it's on.
And always the thing is, too, the best part of any gig is getting the gig, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, once you get the gig, that's...
And then the work comes.
That's the whole challenge. Then you got to do it. And that's what my mom said when I got a snow. She's like, well, now you got to do it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, shit.
Yeah.
The whole goal is getting there, and once you get there, and you know. But, yeah.
So what happens to you after you leave Saturday Night Live? Like, do you just disappear after that for a while? What year were you out of there? 2004? 2004?
2004, yeah.
And you moved back to L.A., or what do you do?
Yeah, I kind of got into, like, I mean, I was auditioning a little bit.
Out there or here?
Out here, but I wasn't really good at auditioning.
Yeah.
Because I really never auditioned before.
Yeah, that's like,
so
man,
I was kind of learning how to audition, but I was also smoking a lot of pot.
Right.
And kind of blowing off auditions. And I ended up buying a house when I got back here. And
you had some money?
Yeah, and I just kind of got into that whole world of just relaxing.
Smoking weed in the house?
Stand up, smoking weed, you know, and being not very ambitious. And just trying to get over everything and trying to settle and find out what my new direction was, because I didn't really plan on anything else. I figured it would all just kind of happen and stuff. So,
were you depressed?
Yeah, but I would have been. I was pretty elated when I got fired because there was so much pressure off me, and I figured something would just happen eventually. So you know, I'd be fine. And I really didn't. At that time, I did not care how my career was going to go. I really didn't care.
Why
I really
is that?
Didn't. I don't know. For some reason, I was just like,
you were just kind of through with it. Like it was so much.
I wasn't
work.
Overdoing it. I wasn't over being like on shows and TVs. But I don't know. I just needed some. I needed a break or something.
It was just the pressure.
I just needed a break. I needed to think about it. And I hated sitcoms. I've right. never liked watching sitcoms.
Yeah,
I just think they're so contrived.
Yeah,
and they're so lame. I've never liked sitcoms.
There's never been a good real one, right? I mean, Seinfeld was awesome.
Because if they're going on these young channels, you know, the 2, 3, 4, whatever channels,
yep.
they're just so cheesy.
I know, it's rough.
There's nothing realistic about it.
But there's
it's just a lot of witty banter.
Yep.
And all that. So
unrealistic. Same old stuff. You know, he likes her, she likes him. They're going to get together. Then they're going to break up, and the friends come around. That's season one.
Yeah.
Then season two, they break up again. Whatever. You know, it's just like, you know. But there's some good TV out right now, you know, like on HBO and stuff.
Well, yeah,
know?
Stuff you can. That's the stuff.
Like
that,
Girls. You like Girls? Yeah. You watch that? To me, that's.
But that's not a sitcom.
I know. I understand. But it's a funny show.
Yeah, it is a good show. I like shows like that.
Me too.
But it's like. You know,
that's the kind of show you want to get on.
That would be fun.
Yeah, you make like $7,000 a week and instead of $40,000.
Yeah,
but it's still it's like at least it's art, you know, in some form.
But it is hard fitting into a show.
Yeah.
If you're not established.
Yeah, that's right. How old
does
are
it
you?
Work is 38.
38. Yeah, you know.
But most people, it doesn't. It just first round of everything is just offers to people.
Yeah.
And then they audition people, and then they usually just go to the offers.
That,
right?
Isn't that weird?
Isn't that what happens?
It's like when I did the...
Nobody talks about that, but that's what happens.
Yeah, it's like I did the Three Stooges audition. They already have guys. But the offers are out, and they're waiting to see if they don't do it. Then I go back for a second audition, and they're going, well, I know you have an offer out to Will Sasso. You know what I mean? Or whatever. What am I doing here? You know, and after a while, you kind of...
Like, how much of that do you want to do?
I know.
But you do it in the meantime.
That's why I'm glad we have Louis C.K. You know what I mean? Because you just keep going like, well, if I work my ass off and do... maybe I can do my own thing. You know what I mean? It's like it's almost like music when I was playing music towards the end. If you just made your own records and stuff... like this band Mother Hips I love. They're banned 20 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all on their own. Once you get rid of the machine.
Well, that's what I'm kind of excited about is like even with Twitter.
Podcasts.
And getting podcasts and even just videos that are going on the internet that are going to be soon watched on the television set. Soon you're going to be watching a screen where you can watch the internet or you can watch cable.
Yep.
And... or maybe cable's gone and it's just going to be a part of this new thing. I don't know. But that's exciting. Because
yeah,
that's
like
gonna
web
happen.
Series. We yeah, can do because, our own web series, you know?
Yeah, because something has to happen. I think people, more and more people are fed up with what's on TV. And
well, NBC just placed fifth. Fifth. Below, like, fucking... I mean, how do you place fifth?
Because people are...
are watching cable.
Yeah, they're watching you know, what they want to watch.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It just shows you that it's broken, mm-hmm. you know? There's just too much good shit out on these little stations, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and it's...
Look at Netflix. I mean, people are doing comedy specials on Netflix.
Yeah,
Amazon.
Now they got House of Cards on Netflix. They're doing series and stuff. Everybody's looking
but
at that.
But as a stand-up, don't you think, like, this is nice that if you haven't done your special yet...
Well, yeah.
That
well,
there's a lot more places to stick it.
Yeah, well, it's great for me because what I didn't realize getting into comedy, I've been in it 3 years now, is it's slowly turning into music. They're just ruining it, the machine, by they want the young, good-looking guy that they can have do some comedy and then just throw him into a sitcom. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The agents and stuff.
Or their own show.
Yeah, they don't know what to do with me. You know what I mean? They look at me and they go, look at this guy's covered in tattoos. He's like a rock.
Well, that's why this is great. I mean, but see, people have to notice people that are popular.
Yeah.
Right? I look at Marc Maron.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a thing.
He had an HBO special. He had some heat. He was around. Everyone knew him. They knew he was funny. And then, you know, he was kind of like... trying to figure out what to do when his podcast hit, you know, what to figure out what to do next. So he did his podcast, and now you can't deny he's got his own show.
Yeah,
you know,
it's you know. And
but I mean, for me, the way I enjoy this stuff is just doing it, being able to get up in front of an audience, even in Hollywood.
Fuck yeah,
that's the
we are so blessed.
That is the game. That is the message. You know, is you don't have to be on anything. And
I don't need to be famous.
I don't have to be. I'm over that. Yeah. I'm over that whole.
Me
thing.
Too. Like people,
I'm
just
almost
wanna,
glad I'm not that famous. You
people want to be famous, you know, and I'm like, what for?
I mean, big time.
I know that's all they care about, and it's so weird. They'll do reality shows. which I can't fucking believe.
I mean, people in Montana want to be famous.
I know.
Really bad.
They do. It's, I mean, it's crazy. And to me, the only reason you want a little fame is to keep working. Because then the machine keeps working you, which is great. They're like, well, this guy was on this show and people love him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's it. If we didn't have to do that, I would never even look at TV or anything. I would just do podcasts, comedy, and then shoot, like, I want to do a web series. You know,
yeah.
I think those are fun. Like, the Brody is my friend, you know, Brody one, Enjoy It, on the Go HBO or whatever. I like shows that I can watch in 15 minutes and be out of there. Like, you know, sitting around, like, at an airport, and you're waiting for your flight, you fire it up, you go, oh, that was a great episode. And then you move on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And those are fun, and you can be really funny, I think, in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, you can get one premise, kind of like those Mr. Show or that kind of stuff, you know, where you get one kind of premise and shoot it, and it's funny as fuck. But there's a gallon of stuff out there that's not funny, these sketches coming off now, right? Yeah, I mean, people shoot me sketches all the time, and I'm like, wow, zero funny.
Yeah.
It's hard to do a funny sketch, you know? It really is, don't you think?
It's
got to be good writing.
You need a good. Everything's got to. You got to have the director, the writing. It's got to be shot well. You got to be able to. You know, everything. The actors have to be good.
Yep.
You know. Yeah, it's hard to get all those things in line.
It is,
but you know, it happens.
It does, and when it does,
it's definitely,
it goes viral.
Yeah,
and then you got a show. You know, which is.
But I like doing. I did a couple music videos. My albums. I did two albums, you know, Ass yeah. Wax. And
so you did some comedy records. We'll yeah. talk about that right now. You did two of them?
Yeah, I did Ass Wax, the first one, and then Rain Makes Me Wet. And they're just EPs, but they're just
they're
a few
iTunes?
Songs. Yeah, on iTunes.
Jeff Richards under?
Yeah.
And I heard them. There's some funny ones. They're comedy music, and... they kind of 80s sound, right? Keyboardy 80s.
Some of that, yeah.
Yeah, like some kind of like Doves Cry, kind of, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But funny shit.
Thanks. Yeah, I just wanted it as therapeutic, and it was fun to do. I always like doing music.
To me, it seemed like at that time in your life, it was kind of therapeutic for you.
Yeah.
Because you kind of seemed to be, you were floating around the store. Right, and I was like, hey, it's Jeff Richards. And then
you knew me then?
Yeah.
No, because that was like years ago.
Well, when you were playing that music for me in the
car
then. About a year ago.
Yeah,
right?
And again, that's back to like, you know, that was after a breakup and I was like smoking pot again, I think.
Right.
That's when I met you.
You kind of had a little spin out?
Yeah, I got a relationship ended and I just started smoking pot again. And it was just like, anytime I smoke pot, it's just not... It's not good. It's not
what
good
about anything else? Booze or pills?
No,
or
no.
Just weed fucks you up?
Yeah. Well, I don't drink or pot. I don't do either, but I used to do both.
Right.
And when I wouldn't do the, you know, the pot, I'd be drinking and, you know, whatever. So I quit both. But, yeah, that particular time I would get really high and write these songs.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun.
Hell yeah.
But... It is, you know, functioning when you're sober, that's the hard thing.
Yeah,
learn how to function when you're sober.
I mean, I remember you started talking to me all the time in the parking lot about, like, you don't party at all, huh? And I'm like, no. And then you would ask me again, and I could tell, like, you were ready just to, like,
quit
again. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can always tell when people want to quit, because they'll ask you questions like, are you bored? You know, like people
trying to like suss out what sober life is like.
Right, right.
Forget it all.
Well, do you get bored? And I'm like, you know, and it's like,
you can't drink or do drugs. I mean, you ride a motorcycle.
Well, I'm on a motorcycle, yeah, so yep. I can't do that. I think that I would do all that right now if I wasn't afraid to die now. Like when I was young, I wasn't afraid to die. I just fucking snort anything on the mirror. You don't even ask a guy what it is. It just pours it out. It could be fucking, like, you know, rat poison.
It's
like,
probably something good, though. I mean,
yeah. Yeah, but I mean.
That's what you assume.
You just fire that down. You're drinking. You're rolling down Sunset in a car with four other dudes. Next thing you know, 3 days go by. You're still. I mean, it's. There's a. And I was telling Maren this. There's a. To me, I don't think it's bad. You know, as long as you get out. But I think you need to go all the way fucking to while, the yeah. other side of your brain, man. And there's some dark shit out there, you know, like where if you stay up 3-4 days, you're like, whoa. You
yeah.
know,
yeah.
And binging on like these like Bukowski style binges or something where you're just drinking. Like
the problem is endurance. That people don't know when to get out.
That's right. That's right.
And people can get away with not getting out.
Yeah.
You know, people got a lot of money. Rich or people. Whatever.
Yep.
Or they have it under.
They got people that help them around.
Yeah. They got a schedule with it or they only do it at night or, you know,
yeah.
you go on forever like that. I mean, I don't. I say do whatever you need to do and learn your own lessons. But I'm. I like being like this, and I don't feel like I never really craved going back. To
I don't either. Like I really don't. Now, I just don't really imagine partying at all. Just because I've just worked so much, I work like 7 nights a week, and all's I care about is I couldn't imagine being fucking hungover and trying to work on some jokes. You know what I mean? Because you go do the jokes, and if something doesn't work, you got to listen to it the next day. Can you imagine being all hungover? You're like, ugh. You know?
Oh, yeah. You don't function well.
And I mean, then you're listening to the set.
It's not the day of or the night of. It's yeah, like the next day.
It's the next day. And then you're listening to your set, and you're hungover.
Your energy level.
Everything, man. And it's like, I got other goals, you know?
Yeah.
I just want to... I want to get good, and you're not going to get good high all the time because mm-hmm. you're going to forget stuff, and you're going to blow shit off. And
some people function really well on pot, though.
Oh, they do.
I mean, unbelievable. And, you know,
they're and I a special think they need type. It probably.
They're a special type.
They are.
I like, look at Bill Maher when he does a show. He never even flubs words.
Not at
he's
all.
He's high.
Yeah, yeah, hell yeah.
And then people go, oh, he's used to it.
Yeah.
I go, but that doesn't I don't get it. That doesn't answer.
Well, that's like I was used to booze, but I wouldn't go on a TV show with five beers going.
He's like perfect on that show.
I know he is.
I always
memory is great too.
He is, and to be able to hit it like that.
Yeah, like my memory is shot. Like Maren would ask me stuff, and I was like, "Oh, I think it was this or that." You know what I mean? If you're thinking back, even 10 years ago, I try to dig through. You know, because you do a ton of shit, and you're like, oh yeah. Your memory is just like, his is dead on.
Yeah.
I smoke a little weed. That's why I quit smoking weed, because I knew I was going to do comedy. And I was like, oh, I would be up on stage, and you go to that fucking blank thing for a minute. I didn't want to have that at all.
Yeah.
Because I knew that they would go, this guy forgot something, and they could come in, you know?
Yeah.
Hecklers, like, yeah. So I wanted to be fucking sharp.
Yeah.
And ready to go, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, weed makes me forget. But you're right. Some people are great on weed.
Yeah. Some people can just do. And some people can have a hit, you know, once a week. Or
yep.
two hits once a week and be cool with that. Like, I wasn't like that either. I was like, I have to smoke all of this weed that I have in my possession.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But that's why I never really owned pot.
You just have people.
I
have
always.
It.
And that caused problems, too, because I would just show up at people's houses like a crack addict.
Really?
I'd smoke some pot.
You just show up.
Then you got to pretend like you want to be there and stuff, too. Like, how's it going, man? How you doing, bro? Yeah? Oh, pot. I'd love to some pot. And if they didn't
say anything.
You
wouldn't just go buy it at the fucking pharmacy?
No, I never did that.
God, that's so
weird. I did that like years ago.
Right.
But then I knew I couldn't own pot, and then I knew I have to. But then when I didn't own it was almost worse, because I would have to like you know
search it out,
you know, befriend my friends.
Yeah,
which is weird.
Befriend? Are you a loner? You seem like a loner to me. I am. I mean, look at me over here. You know.
I mean, I think comics are naturally loners.
Right.
I mean, like comics. If you hang out with comics during at night, like we do, we see people at the different places.
Yep.
Nobody wants to hang out during the day. And it's almost like weird if you ask. Yeah. What are you doing tomorrow? I don't know. Sleeping? They don't want to hang out.
Right. I think you maybe get like one guy.
I go have like, you know, coffee with people here and there. But
yeah,
usually like, I'm okay busy anyway.
What do you do during the day?
Well, I always start, almost always starts out with voiceover auditions.
Oh, yeah? Who's your agent? You got a good one?
Vox, yeah.
Oh, cool.
They're great.
And what kind of stuff? Cartoons or commercials? Everything.
Video
yeah.
games, cartoons.
Right.
Commercials. And then I just, you know, you go on a walk, or I usually do a walk, because I walk to my friend's house to do the voiceovers. I do it at his house. And then I run errands or whatever, you know. Just every day is different. Just working on different things every day. Just stuff for usually the business, show business and stuff.
Yeah.
My car guy, I was scared the shit out of me. My car, it was just all of a sudden, I wasn't noticing anything on my car. And then all of a sudden it was pinned on H.
Hot. Oh, radiator,
and,
huh?
I was like, what the fuck? So I drove it to my house. I brought it to the mechanic today. And
that's easy.
Luckily,
shit,
it was just the cap for the radiator.
Oh, okay. Popped off or something?
No, but he opened it and it was broken. The cap was broken.
Oh, so the water had evaporated out.
Yeah.
That's great. You it still was, got your house?
No, I sold it.
You sold it?
Yeah, yeah.
And you just got like an apartment now or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
You think you'll buy another house if you hit it again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably. But, you know, if I could do anything again too, I wouldn't have bought a house.
Right.
Because it went down so much in value. But I don't know, buying's such a weird thing, you know? Like, it's everybody's goal is to buy a house. And
yeah,
it's just,
I know.
Like, it's such a stupid goal.
It's really not even mine.
You know?
Like, I love this place I'm in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what is this place about? Where'd you find this?
I got this on Craigslist.
What do you pay? Do you mind saying on the air?
I pay like $1,300.
$1,300?
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. And I don't need anything else. I got my turntable over there. I got a garage for my motorcycle. I got a killer view of Hollywood.
Yeah.
I'm in the hills, and it's got a fireplace. This used to be a library.
Now, can you turn that fire? Can you?
Yeah, you can fire that thing up.
Because it's so close to the TV, it doesn't matter.
Well, I don't watch that TV. So
that's why it's okay if it burns?
It could melt it if it wanted.
You don't watch that TV?
I know.
What do? You watch TV?
I don't watch TV. I watch everything on the computer when I'm on the road, like in the room or whatever.
So when you're here, you don't watch any TV?
Never. No, look at the dust on there. I don't even know where they're... Oh, there's a remote control over there. I was going
to
say, I don't...
Wait a minute. If you wanted to turn that on anyway, it wouldn't turn on.
It'll turn on for a DVD, but there's no cable or anything. I turned it off.
Do you watch DVDs in that?
No, I used to. And then I just stopped altogether because when I'm home... It's so rare, you know, like I'm home, I just lay around and relax and listen to some music. And then I watch the TV when I'm on the road. I'll just catch up on shit. Like I'll watch a whole season of like Girls and go, oh, okay, I see what they're talking about. This is funny. And I'll watch them all in a row.
Yeah.
You know? But here, no, you know, when I started comedy, I just got rid of cable because it was like $90 that I could use for food.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, that's out of here.
Yeah.
And I never got into TV. I would love...
It's just a noise box.
I loved TV in the 70s, man.
Mm-hmm.
It was my life. Sanford and Son, All in the Family. To me, All in the Family is just fucking masterpiece. I got them on DVD. I watched those. Sanford and Son, Happy Days, the first couple seasons before it got gay.
Tell you my Henry Winkler story was, he got my number from somebody. He loved Drunk Girl, the character I did, Drunk Girl.
Right.
And he just called me on my cell phone, and he said, Drunk Girl. And I go, who is this? And he goes, this is Henry Winkler. I said, what? He's like, I said, we talked for like an hour. I was in the bank, like opening a checking account, and he called, and I answered it for some reason. I answered it.
The fucking Fonz called you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met the Fonz on Father's Day at the Griddle. He was there with his son.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Did he get bothered by people?
Nah, because he was sitting at the kind of the bar part where you couldn't get up to him. You know what I mean? But I was like, that was the Fonz. You know, the Fonz, when I was growing up, man, the Fonz, Sweat Hogs, mm-hmm. Welcome Back Cotter, Chico and the Man. All that shit was just fucking amazing to me.
Well, they're really saying something, too. It wasn't like just like frosting, you know? Like,
yeah.
I think that's why maybe I don't like sitcoms either, really. It's because it's not like they're... It's just, I don't know.
Once Friends hit, I was out. Certain,
Yeah.
When that show Friends hit, I was out. Like, I really like Seinfeld.
It just doesn't feel, and it's okay that it doesn't feel real, but I want it to not feel real in a way I can almost relate to it. I don't know if that makes sense, but like, if like, you know, I want characters that I maybe never met, but I could believe it's a real character. Like, I don't know. There's just like this hamminess of sitcom acting.
Yeah, like to me, Sanford and Son's about nothing. It's an old guy that lives in a fucking in L.A. in South Central, has a junkyard.
Yeah,
in his house, and it's not even a junkyard. There's like four things on the side of his house. Oh, yeah, someone's honking. You know what I mean? It's about nothing, but the characters are so amazing. Rollo, Sanford, Lamont, the son. The sister-in-law, you big dummy, you know.
Yeah.
The Puerto Rican neighbor.
What can you name now sitcoms that you like or shows?
Yeah.
Not shows, sitcoms. Those types.
There's none.
Yeah.
There's none.
Is that just because it's not they're young people doing them? They're not our age?
Well, if you look at like even Cosby's Show, I think is so great. The first few seasons, the shows. I did like a show that wasn't. I guess it wasn't a sitcom. Men of a Certain Age. It was kind of, you know, Ray Romano and stuff.
Not on anymore.
No, I got canceled after the second season. That thing felt great to me. It was like these three guys that.
Why did that get canceled? You think?
No one watched it.
But then, like you're saying too, with like some of these channels, like HBO and stuff, like, and even Showtime. Like Enlightened and Breaking Bad and those kind of shows. I like those shows.
Love them. Love them. TV's better than
ever.
But
there are movie stars on those.
Yeah, it's better than ever and it's worse than ever. Like you've got Louie, which is an amazing show. You got Girls. I love that show. I love Breaking Bad, you know. You got Boardwalk Empire. All these shows, starting back with The Sopranos, where like Sopranos came on and you were like, God, who is doing this show? It was so over the top great that you couldn't believe that it was on TV.
I guess it just comes down to like the characters and the writing and
somebody and finally saying, let's do something good.
You know, yeah, because it's like, but you're not really going to find those shows on
Never.
CBS, ABC. You're not going to find that type.
No.
It's just a different type.
It is.
Like, this one I'm going out for is, like, my audition on Monday is definitely a, you know, ABC, NBC type of show.
Right.
But you just, I mean, I just got to go in there and just try to do a good job, and that's
it. Well, I would like to go and be on that show, too, only for one thing. So you could tour comedy. You know what I mean? Yeah. If your character is sparse enough but has enough impact, you know, like a Kramer character where he would just slide in and you go, there's Kramer before he did his racist rant.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But if you have a character.
Can he tour now? He can never tour.
No. Nah. Nah, I don't, you know. I heard he's coming out on a show. He just landed a show.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah, which is going to be interesting, and it's with some other people, some big people. I can't remember what it was.
Wow.
But
it's not that. That just seemed irreparable.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody.
I mean, Mel Gibson works every day.
God, he's made so much money for
Mel Gibson works.
For the industry and himself.
Yeah, I mean, he works every day, and he said some of the most racist shit on the planet in a town that, you know, you just go, wow, he still works? So, I don't
know. It is unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
Is that setting the wrong precedent? I mean, is that giving the wrong message to people that are up and coming?
Well, I mean, you know, Charlie Sheen works. Mm-hmm. You know, I think if you're making money for the machine, they still let you work. Now, if he was some idiot that was
still marketable,
that's right.
Still, yeah.
If there was no money coming off Charlie Sheen,
he's gone.
He'd be long fucking gone.
Yeah.
Long gone. You know what I mean? You know, and I watched one episode of Two and a Half Men about 2 years ago just to see what the fuck it was. I was like, I got to see what this show is. And I couldn't even believe that it was even on.
Yeah.
And that it had huge ratings. I was like, this has got to be the worst thing I've seen. You know, I do like Two Broke Girls, which is weird. I like that show for some reason.
It's just you have to become a, you just have to be a fan of that particular that
formula,
that particular flow that, I don't know. I can't get into it.
Yeah, I like that show, I think, just because it's got some edgy jokes on it.
Yeah.
They'll do a BJ joke on there or whatever, or they'll do a butt sex joke. I can't believe it.
I guess it's just because it's like when people are talking in jokes.
Yeah,
I
terrible.
I just, I'm like, I'm not in the moment with it.
And we're around great comedians all the time.
I'm just like, this is how people talk to each other.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many much more witty banter happening, you know.
Yeah.
Elsewhere.
Thanks for coming over, dude.
Thank you.
Hey, give me a quick run through of some characters signing out here. Jeff Richards, give us some guys.
Hi, this is Kevin Spacey. Shut up, sit down, listen, and learn. Look, these fucking paper clips have more fucking brains than you do. Oh yeah, I get it. Do you get it? I get it. It's more of a face one. This is Gene Wilder. Behind this door, some of your dreams have become fantasies. Some of your fantasies become dreams. Yes, 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 yes. But you can't tell your mother. Everything is edible. I mean, eatable. I mean, you can lick my balls.
Gary Busey. AIDS walk. You can't walk AIDS off. You got to run it off. Nice to see you. Good to have you here. Merry Christmas. I'm Gary Busey. And I'm in the floral section of your neighbor. I'm going to be in the floral section of your grocery store tomorrow morning.
All right, I'm going to go pee.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff Merry Richards, Christmas. Right there, man. Thanks for coming by, buddy. And thanks, everybody, for listening to Let There Be Talk. Don't forget to tell your friends about Let There Be Talk. And give us some reviews there on iTunes, man. Write a review. Say, hey, love it. I'm still stuck at 19 reviews. I don't get it. And, subscribe. Subscribe to Let There Be Talk. You can also find Jeff at Tasty Jeff on Twitter. And I am at Dean Del Rey. And I'll be in, Scottsdale, Arizona in March. Check my website for some dates. Going to be in San Diego with Chris D'Elia in March at the America Comedy Co. And then I will be headlining the La Jolla Comedy Store at the end of March. Busy March. But I appreciate you guys all tuning in. I hope you like this episode with Jeff Richards. You guys rock out there.
Light the candles of rock.
See ya.